wait for the Lord. Now, interestingly enough, on, upon, and for, they all mean the same thing. What is different is the word wait. Is that the English word wait actually translates two different Old Testament words that work together to teach us about waiting on the Lord. There's a big misunderstanding out there on what it is to wait on the Lord. Let's consider this. There's the first word, and I'll have you turn to Isaiah. Old Testament, Isaiah. We're going to stay in the Old Testament because that's where this phrase comes up. And it comes up many, 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 many times. However, they repeat themselves. It comes up over and over again, but there's a repeated theme. So we're just going to look at a few of these verses of Scripture that represent the overall theme of waiting on the Lord. Isaiah 8 is where we're going to look at the first one. And here is the word, wait, that means exactly what we think it means, to long for because you want it, to long for something. I'm actually waiting on something I ordered on eBay right now, okay? See, I'm still telling myself spring's coming. You know, I'm just kidding myself because it makes me feel good, and backpacking season is upon me. So I have I bought a used, but new to me, ultralight single-man tent. It's going to be the lightest tent I've ever bought. I cannot wait to get this thing, okay? And I ordered it on eBay using some birthday money I got. My grandma still sends me birthday money. You know, I turned 49 this year, and oh, there's a card from grandma, birthday money. And so I bought this thing, and I'm waiting for it. And I'm excited about that. That's what this word means. It just means to long for something because you really, really, really want it. Okay. And again, maybe it's something really positive, or maybe you want the storm in your life to end. You know, there's something you really want. You're waiting for it. How is it used? I guarantee you, in the Old Testament, it's not used in waiting for some material thing, like a new backpacking tent. That's not what we're told to wait for when it comes to waiting on the Lord. Waiting for my tent is not waiting on the Lord. You got that? Let's look. Isaiah 8:17 says, "And I will wait on the Lord," says Isaiah, "who hides his face from the house of Jacob," that is Israel, "and I will hope in him." What's he waiting for? Well, God is hiding his face from the nation Israel. Why does God hide his face from anything? He always hides it because of sin and disobedience. Obedience and belief, that invites the face of God. He can't wait to get his face in the middle of that. It's the disobedience, and God says, "I'm not looking at that. I'm hiding my face from it." And that's what Isaiah finds himself in the midst of. What is he waiting for that he really, really wants? God's justice. He wants God's justice. His people have rebelled against God, and God has hidden his face. He's withdrawn from them. And Isaiah himself has withdrawn from his wicked people in his day. It says up in verse 11, "For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people." And so he didn't. He's withdrawn from those wicked ways of his countrymen. And now he's waiting for God to show up, is what he's waiting for. Look at verse 12. It says, "Do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, let him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary." That's an encouraging word, isn't it? Isaiah, God, in the midst of all this injustice around you from your own countrymen, God will be your sanctuary. "But a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, they shall fall, and be broken, be snared, and taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples." In other words, God's justice is coming. And so in verse 17, Isaiah says, "I will wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait for that justice. Can't do anything about it. Can't hurry it along. All I can do is wait. When you've done all you can do in the midst of injustice, and there's nothing else you can do, wait. God's justice is coming. This comes up again and again in the Old Testament, waiting on the Lord's justice. But here's another theme that repeats itself when it comes to just sitting on your hands and waiting, because there's nothing else you can do. And that's found in Isaiah 40. Flip way ahead to Isaiah 40, and notice the 31st verse of Isaiah 40. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." We sing a song like that. Mounting up on like wings of eagles, on wings like eagles. What's Isaiah saying here? Again, Isaiah speaking to those Jews who choose to follow the Lord, but they're outnumbered by those who don't. And that's draining, isn't it? It's draining. And what he's saying, to wait on the Lord, there's nothing you can do, but you have to patiently wait for God's strength. God's strength. At such times when you're just surrounded by, you're outnumbered by the ungodly, you're outnumbered by injustice, and you've done everything you can do, and there's nothing else you can do, you have to wait for God to strengthen you. Not necessarily those who are doing the injustice, as much as we want to see them change. You're to wait for what God's going to do with your heart. See, our problem is we get really caught up in waiting for God to fix them. God, go get them. Go fix them. Because I know what I would do in that situation. Okay? So God, go do it. Let me help you. Let me tell you what would be best for these people, Lord. And we start praying that way. You know what we really need to be praying for? We need to be praying for ourselves. And say, God, I need your spirit of calmness. I need the patience that can only come within from Jesus Christ. My fleshly patience ain't going to cut it. I need the patience of you to simply wait for what you say you're going to do. Now, that's what Isaiah is saying. And that strength is coming. And man, look what that strength enables you to do. So when I ask who likes to wait, pretty much nobody. But when I ask how many of you are good at waiting, those of you who can say, I'm good at waiting, it's probably because you've learned to wait on the strength of the Lord. Right? Maybe the rest of us need to start doing that. Stop waiting for God to change people and to change circumstances, but to change us. So that's how that word is used in one sense throughout the Old Testament. Wait, the way we use it, to patiently wait. But it's about patience for God's justice and God's strength, not for our desires to be fulfilled. Here's the second way this word comes up a lot. You can go ahead and flip over to the book of Psalm for now. The 27th Psalm is where we're going to look at how the second way this word is used. But the second way wait comes on, and again, there's not two different English words. There's only one, but there were two words in the Hebrew language, and they used them both. This word means to expect, to look for, and hope for, because you know it's coming. To expect, to look for, and hope for. See, whereas the first word for wait is a passive word. I'm sitting on my hands and there's nothing I can do. So I'm just going to wait. This word is active, meaning there's something you can do. The first word is like sitting at a bus stop because you can't make the bus come, all right? But this word is more like the hunter. He's not just sitting on a bus stop bench. He's actually got binoculars in hand. His waiting involves a little bit of camouflage because he knows it's going to make a difference. His waiting is staying awake, not falling asleep, and keeping his eyes peeled, and he's looking. This is an active kind of wait. This is when he can do something. He has a keen sense of awareness. Of course, the only difference is even with all that, the hunter has high hopes, but no guarantee in what he's waiting for. But the one who actively expects, looks for, and hopes for the Lord is waiting on something he knows will show up. I wish I had that guarantee in hunting. I wish I knew that if I wait long enough and I wait with an active wait, that turkey's going to come out of those woods. The deer is going to come across. I wish I knew that. I've waited with all kinds of anticipation just to see nothing. Right? That's not what it is to wait on the Lord. How many of you remember MASH? Radar O'Reilly in MASH. I know some of you young people, you have no idea what that show is. It took place during the Korean War. It was at a hospital unit during the Korean War. And Radar was the clerk, and he was real timid and passive. Except anytime the wounded were brought in on jeeps or usually choppers, you know, helicopters, they'd come, and whatever the MASH unit was doing, they stopped doing it, and they went out to get the wounded, to meet the wounded. Radar, the company clerk, always knew when the choppers were coming before anybody else did. And they'd be maybe in the mess hall, they'd be doing who knows what, and then Radar would stand up and get a strange look on his face, and they'd say, "What is it?" And he'd say, "Wait for it." With all confidence, this timid clerk would always say, "Wait for it," and within a moment later, they'd hear the choppers, okay? That's what this word means. It means to wait on the Lord because you expect him, you know he's coming, you just got to wait for it. You're going to wait for the Lord to come because he's going to provide. Provide what? Well, let's see how this word is used. Psalm 27, let's see. I asked you to turn there, but I didn't. Psalm 27, 14 says, wait on the Lord. This is a different word for wait than we looked at in the past two verses. This is the active word. You can do something here. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What's the psalmist waiting for? Again, it's something we've already looked at. He's waiting for strength and courage. Folks, God provides courage. David wrote this psalm in the midst of really threatening circumstances, really threatening. And he's actually powerless to stop those circumstances. He can't make them stop or go away. And those threats may come true. That which is threatening David's life may happen. He knows the reality that this could happen. Regardless, he expected the Lord not to necessarily change his circumstances, but to change him with strength and courage to face those circumstances. Folks, you can too. You can do this too. God told Isaiah, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will be with you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That was a promise. It was a promise he made to Isaiah. That promise is made to us. I think too many Christians are running from that which scares them instead of facing it because they're not actively waiting on the Lord for strength and for courage. How do you actively wait on the Lord? You look for him in his word. You look for him in his people. You look for him in every circumstance in your life. That's putting on the binoculars. That's sitting up and keeping your eyes peeled. That's actively waiting on the Lord. And you know what? You'll find strength in that. You'll find courage in that. Regardless of circumstances. You know what? You know what circumstance I really wanted? I wanted a circumstance in which I stayed in Arizona and found a really good pastorate somewhere in the mountains and stayed there till I died. That was the circumstance I wanted. And then this guy named Joe Riggs called me from New York. The idea of going to New York was terrifying. I'd never been to New York. What do I want to go to New York for? I hate big cities. You know? Because that's what every Westerner thinks of when they hear New York. Pastor Riggs said, no, it's not like that here, okay? We're out in the country and we're out in the farms. And I said, you said you're from New York, right? Yeah, we're out in the farm. I didn't know there was farms in New York. You see how ignorant desert rats can be? Yeah. And then the more we talked about this church, I thought, man, this really sounds like something. And he says, would you at least talk to our deacons on the phone? I said, absolutely. And I had a conference call with the guys and boy, that was a whole different, I think Terry was in on that, Jim was in on that, Dusty was a deacon then, and I don't remember who else. It might have been Frank. I'll bet Frank was one. No, it was after Ron. Ron had, or maybe it was Ron. I'm not sure. But I talked to him. I thought, man, I like these guys. And so we said, yeah, we'll come out to New York and candidate. You know what, folks? That was terrifying. I don't know those people. I don't know what that place is like. And the plane landed, and yeah, sure enough, there ain't no cactus out here. Yeah. And we candidated, and we spent several days here. And it was a really positive experience. And we got back on the plane, we flew home, and I looked at Naomi, and I said, you know, if that church decides to call us to be their assistant pastor, my answer will be yes, I could serve there. She said, yeah, I agree. And you know what? That terrified me, the idea of moving out to New York, you see? And in all of that, I had to wait on the Lord because I was constantly looking for him. I was looking for him in my interview with the deacons. I was looking for him in my time with you. I was looking for him in everything. And I found strength and courage to do something that really terrified me. And that which I really didn't want to happen, get up and leave Arizona, the homeland of the desert rats. I never wanted that to happen. It happened, folks. It happened. And I may never live there again. But there's strength and courage in waiting on the Lord. Gotta quit waiting for the Lord to change the circumstances to the way you want them. Start waiting for him to give you strength and courage in spite of those circumstances. And man, you'll get up in the morning. That's what the psalmist had to learn. That's what it is to wait on the Lord. We see this, so strength and courage, but also in Proverbs 20. This is the last one you have to turn to. Proverbs 20, we see this word for actively waiting, expecting, longing, hoping for. This is used in this verse too. When he says, the proverb says in chapter 20, verse 22, it says, do not say, I will recompense evil. Yeah. Wait for the Lord, he will save you. What is it to actively wait on the Lord for in this text? Salvation from evil. Salvation from evil. He's not talking here about the salvation of your soul. He's talking about the salvation from evil that drains your soul. That's what he's talking about. That evil that drains your soul. Vengeance is not yours. When you are attacked for doing good, attacked for no good reason, I know. You want to get back at it, put an end to this. You want to put people in this place, you want to hurt them. Did you know that church that got shot up by that guy last fall, was it? And pastor's own daughter died and a whole bunch of people were killed by that guy. Do you know that people have been showing up outside of that church and making claims that shooting never happened? This is a lie. This is just a propaganda lie. It never happened. The pastor has had to deal with people on the sidewalk of that church out there making an argument. This is phony. This is never happened. This pastor's daughter died, and he's dealing with this kind of stuff. Don't you want to say, get him? I mean, it does. You want to come and do that here? Let me show you how real gun violence can be. That's what I want to say in the flesh. But the proverb says, vengeance isn't yours. You can't recompense evil. You can't do it and glorify the Lord anyway. Instead, what you can do, wait on the Lord. He will deliver you from evil. Again, in his time. But if you want to put people in this place and seek to hurt them, folks, that sensation will vex you. It will destroy you. Bitterness is horrible. Bitterness is a terrible thing to carry. And Christians are killing themselves with it because they choose that instead of choosing to wait on the Lord. God brings justice in his time. He saves you from that vexation. Look for the salvation because it's coming. You can expect it. So to wait on the Lord in this way is really to do what, folks? It is to look for God to work in you. Not to work in others, not to bring vengeance, not to change your circumstances. It's to look for God to work in you. And when you look for God to work in you and not to change your circumstances, but to change you, this will change everything. And this is a real game changer. The outcome of one who waits on the Lord is the outcome is a complete different disposition on life and circumstances. Why? The inner person has changed. The inner person finds strength and courage. Okay? When you're at the receiving end of injustice, instead of looking to see the guilty pay, you'll instead look to see what God is doing in you. Not in them, in you. What exactly does this look like? Well, Jesus gave you an example of what it was to wait on his heavenly Father. They hung him on a cross after having spit on him, beat him, mocked him, put thorns on his head and made him bleed, nailed him to that cross, dropped that cross, boom, into that pre-dug hole on the ground, and still continued to mock him. And what did he say to his Father about those people? Father, forgive them. That's waiting. That's actively waiting on the Lord. That's an example. You know, Stephen, one of the first deacons and the first martyr for the faith in the resurrected Savior, gave you a similar example when they were throwing rocks at him and killing him. And as he was dying, he said something similar to, you know, God, they don't know what they're doing. But man, I see Jesus and I'm coming into your hands. That's actively waiting on the Lord. That's how he had the courage and the strength to face that and still say a blessing for those people. He waited on the Lord. We knew a couple, Naomi and I knew a couple who worked at Bob Jones University, husband and wife, right? Both worked there. And a few years ago, Bob Jones was having some financially tough times. They were making some cuts. This couple was pretty sure that they were going to lose their jobs, that their job was going to get cut. And as it turns out, it was not. They did not lose their jobs. But you know what they told us? They said, that was a tough time to go through. But you know, we just said, Lord, what are you going to do with us next? You must have something else. So we're going to wait on you. And you know, they, by waiting on the Lord, they found peace. They found encouragement, even though they didn't think they were going to have a job much longer. We've seen others in the same situation get angry and bitter. And how dare they lose their job? What a difference waiting on the Lord brings. They looked for God to do a work in them. They looked for God. You know, you find yourself not getting angry when you look for, what is God doing here? That person cut me off, totaled my car, and then got out and yelled at me as if I'd done something wrong. You know, look for God in that situation, and you won't retaliate and get into a fist fight before the cops show up. Instead, you look for God. God could have stopped that car from cutting you off. He didn't. God could have stopped that cancer from getting hold of your lungs. He chose not to. Okay? God could have let that loved one you love so much live a few more years. He said no. Okay? So what are you doing, God? And what are you doing in me? I tell you what, you start waiting on the Lord like that, and that's the biblical way to wait. You're going to find bitterness just eep away, just seep away. It just won't be part of you. It'll just ebb away. You won't be bitter. You won't live in anger. You might even find you don't live in the anxiety that so quickly grabs you. Hey, you're looking for what is the Lord doing? What is the Lord doing in me? Okay, so to wait on the Lord, it's not to wait for him to tell you what to do. Some people won't take a step until they say, I got to know what God's doing. I'm just waiting on the Lord. No, no, no. It's not finding God's will. You just walk according to the scriptures and you will find yourself in God's will. Okay? And he'll lead you. No, to wait on the Lord is not to wait for him to fix your situation. He may. He often does. He doesn't guarantee it. Right? To wait on the Lord is simply to long for and expect God to strengthen you in spite of your situation. You'll wait on the Lord when you've done all you can do and it's out of your hands. And all you have is the pain of it all. But now you long for and you expect God to bring you strength and courage. And that's the peace that he offers to provide. So wait for it. It's coming. Father, thank you again for these men who faced some really hard circumstances, Lord, and yet they waited on you, and now they teach us to do the same. And they're not a person in this room, Lord, who doesn't have some circumstance going on that he or she would rather go away. I pray that he and she and I will look for you in that circumstance to change me. May she look for you in that circumstance to change her. May he look for you in that circumstance to change him. With strength, courage, and the peace that follows. We praise you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.